Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hit and Hustle from irishsportsdaily.com. I am your host, Greg Flamong, and with me, as always, is the professor of Jamie University, Mr. Jamie Uwayama. It is Wednesday, April 3rd. Jamie is in South Bend in a Notre Dame-themed bunker, it appears, and we're going to be talking about spring practice. Jamie was at spring practice today. We got five viewing periods to observe the Notre Dame football team. Sounded like some pads were popping, Jamie. That was nice to see. Nice to see that. Guys mixing it up there. We're going to talk about Jamie's observations. We're going to talk about some of the things. Maybe he's heard some things about how some of the position group competitions is shaping up. Linebacker, offensive line, things of that nature. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If this is your first time catching our show, please hit the like. Please hit subscribe. Please hit the notification bell soon, whenever it is we are going live. Links to the podcast are in the description below. And this show is going to be brought to you by ESQ Clothing, which is founded by Notre Dame alum Ga Wang. You've seen ESQ on all your favorite Notre Dame players and coaches with over a decade of making the best custom clothing available. ESQ will help you look and feel your best in 2024. From a perfect fitting suit or sport coat, shirt or bomber jacket, or that perfect tuxedo for wedding season, check out Ga's amazing work at esqclothing.com and book an appointment to upgrade your wardrobe today. Mention ISD and get 10% off your entire purchase. Jamie, many people are wondering right off the top, how is your shoulder? You flew on an airplane. Rajon says Jamie flew with only one wing working. We only need one wing. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling pretty good, actually. I'm not in a sling, although I could still be in a sling, but it's been progressing pretty good. Like, I mean, I don't think I'm going to be like full go for a while, but I mean, I can easily do just regular kind of things, you know, just can't like reach up top of the cupboard kind of thing. Like, you know, like you can't carry anything too heavy with it, whatever. But other than that, I'm doing all right with it. So feeling pretty good.
Yeah. From my experience, the sling is just kind of a pain management thing. It doesn't really help with the healing. It's just like more comfortable, right? You don't have to have your arm, you know, kind of dangling there. It'll just rest it there. So that's good. Sam K says, give him the red jersey during cupboard reaching drills. You got to get Jamie a red jersey out there. Feeling good. So that's a good job by you, Sam K. That's a good comment. Just straight off the top, we are on spring break over here at my house, and all my children are here, and my wife is at work. So if one of them comes in here and starts talking to me about something, that we're just going to work through that. There's nothing I can do. I can't stop the show and deal with them. So we're just going to work through.
We'll improvise. Yeah.
I've given them food. I've given them some entertainment in there, but who knows? Jamie. You saw practice today. Riley Leonard is out there. He's in a red jersey of all the quarterbacks, but he's got a little ankle brace on. I guess I don't know. What did you see from that? What did you think about that? What is your thoughts on him kind of already being out there and throwing the ball around?
Well, I think I don't think he was running around too much, but like he was in an air cast where, to the point that if you didn't see the cast and you just saw him kind of like walking, you'd be like, oh, he's normal.
Yeah.
You know, like it's so I think a lot of people who were kind of speculating that it was going to like, this was going to be like this thing, whatever was going to last. Like, I think, you know, like we talked about before with Marcus Freeman and his comments about certain injuries, how he's extra cautious with it. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he wasn't with Riley Leonard, I think it says a lot, right? That just there, and also says to like, Riley Leonard, like he wants to compete. He wants to come out and he doesn't want to miss. He doesn't want to miss time and he doesn't want to take advantage of it. So, you know, I don't think I can't imagine he's going to be like, I don't expect by, you know, next week, all of a sudden he's going to be like full go or anything like that. But I mean, just even the fact that he's out there even a little bit, I think is really encouraging.
Yeah, and I think the fact that he's already like weight bearing, you know, he's putting pressure on the leg already, and he's not in the his little crutches or his little, you know, the, I don't know what to call it, with the, you put the leg up on the little cart.
Thing. Yeah. The little scooter or whatever.
Yeah. You don't do that. So that's good. Right. This is the good thing for his overall prognosis there. It's a, you know, that's good to see. I've heard some things like just kind of poking around. I know some people in the community, like the orthopedic community who obviously aren't involved in his injury thing as well. And I heard in his prognosis or in the surgery or anything like that, just kind of piecing together some of the public knowledge. It could have been 6 weeks without weight. Right. So the fact that he's already doing that is a good sign. What did you observe today, Jamie? What did you see out in the practice field?
Well, I mean, yeah, like, you know, they don't do a lot in those first five periods because it's a lot of like individual and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, right away they came out and I think they wanted to set the tone. So they came out right away and worked on, you know, a one-on-one tackling drill. It wasn't like, I mean, they weren't putting anybody at risk with this drill. Mm-hmm. So I'll just say that it's just one of those things where, you know, you're basically like a few feet away from a guy and it's like stopping a guy at the goal line. Right. And you got to like stop him. And it was linebackers and DBs versus running backs, tight ends and receivers, mostly backs and tight ends. But it was I mean, I think it was one of those things where it's a little bit instructive just because you could just you hear pads pop. Right. And that's always a good thing. And I mean, to me, right away, the first guy stood out was Christian Gray. I mean, you heard it. It was like, you know, boom, like that was a thing. And frankly, just watching Christian Gray, like in the drills, just the drill work, and they were doing some other tackling stuff after too. One, he's a big dude. You can tell like he's added weight from last year. He looks bigger. And he already was, I mean, he showed out as a tackler in his little bit of time last year, but that's exactly, you know, that kind of like big physicality is like what you want to see in like a boundary corner. Right. Yeah. So that stood out. Like, I think there was like, I mean, Kennedy Urlacher, who, you know, I wasn't even like particularly like kind of looking for, like I had to like remind myself that that was like, he's number 23. And first of all, he's small. Like there's no confusion that he's going to be Brian Urlacher. He's not going to, unless he goes through like an incredible growth spurt or like, you know, the X gene
at 18, 19 activates years old, you know, like that happens becomes, all the time.
You know, yes. So it's just not going to happen. He's just not built like that. I mean, but he's another guy like where, I mean, it was one of those where everybody was like, "Oh, right." And when you know, you're not getting a big run and that kind of thing. So if someone's doing that, it shows up. And I think just, you know, KVA in that drill, just, you know, just seeing him, he had a nice rep, which was a good rep by Jack Larson too, who he was going against, but just seeing him, he is big. He is big. Where he looks just as good or better than the linebackers who've been there for like a year or more, right? Like physically, man, he is legit. And he just, you know, absolutely looks the part. You know, that stood out. And I mean, Jordan Clark too, who is not another guy who's not a big guy. He's not a big guy, but I would say he is bigger than Thomas Harper. Like, you know, to me, if I was going to look at him, I would say, he looks just a bit thicker than Thomas Harper, but same, like he's not super tall or anything like that, but man, that guy's got some snot in him. I mean, chip off the old block in terms of just, you know, his dad. Everybody remembers his dad playing for the Steelers and some of those big hits that he had in some of those Ravens games. Like, I mean, he's got something to him. He's got an edge to him, which, you know, that's a good fit as a nickel. And then a lot of the other stuff was just like indie stuff. I think that, you know, wasn't too instructive with some of the stuff that we saw. Couldn't really, you know, I couldn't really watch the lines. Like they were out, so couldn't really see them. But you know, saw a little bit with the defense where they were working with, you know, backers and safeties. They were working on like, just some like passing off stuff and coverage and just, you know, basically like, based off of motion and stuff. And you could just see like, they were so on point with things that, I don't want to say it's surprising because yeah, they do have veterans coming back, but it's not like it's Bertrand and Leafau there, you know, right. with DJ Brown in there too. Right. It's like, you know, Shuler's new, obviously Drake Bowen is new. Sneed is elevated up there too, you know, with the regular, you know, the base defense. And those guys are on top of things. They're really on top of things. And yeah, just thought that was, you know, impressive. And I just think it was just interesting too, to see that when they went nickel for the first time and like, whatever, you know, you see at the beginning of practice, we don't know what they're doing later on in practice when they're doing it. But the first nickel group that came out, it was Sneed and Kaiser at linebacker. Right. And then obviously Clark at nickel and X Watts and Shuler at safety. And I mean, just Shuler, just he looks like a million bucks, man. He looks physically so impressive and just big and long and moves well. And yeah, it's he's going to be interesting because I think he's a little bit different than some of the other guys that they've had, you know, in recent years, just in terms of his just overall just size. Like, obviously, you know, you I don't even include like Kyle Hamilton's such a unicorn. It's just like you can't even compare him to anybody else, really. But like, just if you're going to say like compared to, say, Brown and Henderson last year, like Shuler just looks different and he just is different. So that's going to be interesting. It's going to be really
just like a real like physical thumper, you know, like which they haven't had. Cause like you think about, okay, Kyle was a thumper obviously, but he's a different conversation. Like Alohi was a thumper, but he was smaller, right? Like he was not a big guy. Yeah. So it's like you aren't, you know, he's going to bring it, but he is not a physically imposing person. Like I don't want to get hit by him. And a Don Shuler might be that kind of guy where it's like, I don't want him to be coming downhill and be the one who's hitting me. That hurts. I don't like it. And so like they haven't had that kind of guy in a good bit. I mean, it's been a little while since they've had a thumper back there. And so that's interesting in terms of, like you said, the skill set situation. With Jordan Clark, Vamos Irish is asking, was Clark practicing? I mean, he was. I saw him out there in the videos. And he takes on added importance because Clarence Lewis is leaving the program, right? We haven't talked about that on this show yet. And it was interesting. Not something that I saw coming. It could be indicative that Jordan Clark looks good and that he's out there and he's kind of solidified his position there. And it's like, maybe he doesn't want to be backup nickel and maybe he doesn't want to be backup field or backup boundary or whatever it might be, right? He can go somewhere and start. I'm interested to see where he ends up. But like, if he wants 600-700 snaps next year, short of injury, that wasn't coming.
It wasn't going to happen.
And he's already got his degree, right? Like, and I think, you know, last show we talked about how, or someone asked the question about people leaving. It's like, you know, people have to leave because they're over the scholarship limit. And he is the exact type of player who would already has a degree, can start somewhere else, and has had a ton of playing time, right? So, like, he can go play somewhere. He has his degree, and it's just like a seamless thing. I didn't see it coming. Like, I hadn't heard any rumors about it. But it's one of those that, like, yeah, that makes sense, right? It's a depth piece that hurts, but you have to be able to develop a guy like Micah Bell, right? Maybe you have Leonard Moore, who you can fast track into a spot. Maybe this means that Chance Tucker finally gets a role as like a kind of a regular player. Maybe he can get 200 snaps this year. Like something they need to replace those 200, 300 snaps. You can get it from some place. But Jordan Clark adds kind of a, you know, he takes on added importance now. And we've heard a few good things about Jordan Clark this year, about the way he's moving around. Like you said, he's a thumper. Like he's very physical. And so that is bigger than Thomas Harper. So that's going to be interesting to monitor and track, as well as, you know, Christian Gray and Jaden Mickey. I'm interested in your thoughts on kind of the linebacker situation. You know, Mike put out something on the IrishSportsDaily.com message board that I think people should take a look at. You know, he talked about his time at Notre Dame and what he noticed when he was out there. I think it was about for a week. Not just what he noticed, but kind of some rumblings that he had heard about some things. The linebacker situation, how do you see that progressing at this point in terms of, sounds like Drake Bowen's making a move. Sounds like Jaden Osbury looks really good. Kind of unclear about where Jalen Snead fits into all this. We know KVA's looking impressive. Kind of how do you think things are sitting right as we speak today?
I mean, I think the fact that you have Snead there and he's coming out with the ones and staying in there when it's the nickel, he's not the guy coming off the field.
Yeah.
That's not nothing, right? So
yeah, I think, for sure.
You know, when there's that, you know what you're going to get out of Kaiser already at the bare minimum. You know, like what the floor is there with Kaiser. And I think you look at that and you have Osbury, you have Bowen, who I would say Bowen is probably, you know, above, you know, with the top group for sure. Like he's, to me, not just with him rotating, but everything I've heard him, like he's going to play a lot this year. But I do think like KVA and Osbury are guys who are good enough to probably play. And from, you know, that's stuff that I heard as well, that I think that's, it's going to be like just good problems, really, right? Yeah. Like good problem to have is that you have guys where maybe you don't have enough spots. And the one thing is that I do think nickels, you still got to match up, right? You personnel wise. So you're still going to have to play nickel a lot most of the time, right? Just based on the teams you play. But I think when you have Osbury and you have Snead who can go out and play Rover and be kind of like legitimate Rovers, where I think like Kaiser can play Rover, but I don't think that was his natural fit, you know, I think it is more of a fit athletically for Snead and Osbury. So I think it gives you options, right? It gives you options. And it's just like how, with Shuler gives you different options than what you would have with these other guys. Right. And, I mean, you didn't mention Rod Hurd in terms of, because he's obviously not practicing yet. Right. Like he's going to arrive in the summer, but I mean, that's another guy that he adds to the versatility of what you can do in terms of him playing safety and then him, you know, possibly playing some nickel too and all that too. Right. So, I really like that kind of group that they have in terms of like how multiple they can be. Mm-hmm. And obviously we didn't get to see any, like they were doing like inside run today. So it wasn't like you really get like a good look. And frankly, I mean, I could tell you all these other practices where, you know, they were doing 7-on and Prince Coley looked great in 7-on. Right. But it's like a different story when you get into, when you're actually going, you know, inside run and all that, right? So, and team and all that. So we'll see it all work itself out. But I think the key is that however it works out, they're going to be good at linebacker. Like, I think they're going to be very good.
How does Jaden Osbury look physically? I've seen in a couple of videos, and I'm not like, they're quick clips. So it's like, I can't really assess how he looks out there. He looks pretty svelte, explosive, I guess, is my impression. I'm wondering if that's kind of the case when you, when you're out there looking at him.
Yeah. To me, he looks like, I mean, he's not big, right? Like that's for sure. He's not a big guy. You know, obviously moves really, really well. But I think if you saw, like, if he was wearing another jersey, you would think, oh, is that Kedron Young or something? Like, you know, in terms of just like, he's kind of a big back size, you know, that's kind of what you would think with him because he's not the tallest guy either. Right. So, I don't know. I think he's, it's interesting because his thing is if you put him next to KVA and Bowen, and Sneed, really, right? Like those guys are longer and like look different, right? Than him. But I mean, obviously he is super quick and I think instinctive and one of the other things that kind of like separates him too.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be, it's interesting and exciting to follow that group. Cause they're such, they're just such good athletes, you know, like they just can, they have a lot of talent there just as football players. We, in the last show, we had a question in our mailbag show about, you know, players switching positions. And I found myself just kind of putting the linebackers all at different spots. Cause I feel like they all A, played offense in high school and B, like just, they have a lot of utility. And when you have guys like that, that's what you want in the middle of your defense there at the second level. So they have just so many options. Drake Bowen's obviously a really good athlete. It's like a baseball player as well. Jalen Sneed's a great athlete. Jack Kaiser, right? Like he, and I think the fact that there could be a rotation like that might actually be to his benefit. He's an inside linebacker, I think, but maybe doesn't have that size to play the type of snaps that, that Bertrand would play or that Maris would play. Like it helps him physically not to have to put up with, you know, 60, 70 snaps a game. Maybe if you could keep him at 40, you can get the most out of him as a middle linebacker. So that's going to be interesting to track there. You made a couple observations about the defensive line in your write-up today. What are some of the things you noticed from those guys today?
Well, I mean, I didn't get to see these guys actually. I mean, I only saw them physically, right?
Yeah.
So that's the main thing is that, like, I don't want to say like too much in terms of, you know, how they practice because, you know, they were outside and then in the far corner, like for practice. So I didn't get to kind of see them go through drill work, but just like, you know, seeing some of these guys physically, like I just thought, not unsurprisingly, it's nothing. This is not like a, you know, breaking news or anything like that. But like Josh Burnham, you could really just see like where the difference between him and like say Junior Tui Halamaka compared to last year, where I think you look those guys when they like kind of walked in side by side before, you would say, you know, pretty similar size wise, just like, and you could see that Burnham has kind of like upped it. Like he is, first of all, the guy is like rock solid. He is rock solid and, you know, just thicker. And I mean, Tui Halamaka's always got big, big, big legs. But like we can see with Burnham, like really upper body wise, he's like really added a lot of muscle and he's much bigger. I thought it was interesting. Boubacar Traor, you know, he still looks slim to me. He looked like kind of the same like guy that he was. And I mean, I have no idea what, you know, how his kind of like time in the weight room has been or whatever. And I'm really interested to kind of see him not as a pass rusher, because I think I'm pretty positive he's going to do well as a pass rusher, no matter what, in kind of what situations. But I'm really interested to see this guy play the run and see him like set the edge and like, you know, maybe line up in a seven technique and have to like, you know, go up against tight ends at the point of attack. Like I want to see that from him. And he's super duper long. Like he's super long, but he just doesn't look, I mean, I would say that was one thing, if you were going to say like the difference, cause you know, there's a lot of comparisons with him to physically to Foskey last year, mm-hmm. where Foskey was just a thicker, right? And yeah. But I mean, I would also say that, you know, Traer is more flexible, so that's part of it too. But I just, I don't know. I'm gonna be interested to kind of see, where he's at, because to me, he didn't make as big of a physical jump as I kind of expected him to. And I mean, I didn't get a good look at too many of the other defensive linemen, other than like, I mean, I'll say Sean Saviano is a big dude. He's huge, but I mean, yeah. Definitely he's got a bit of a belly. Like he could still be big and play big, but he could shed some LBs. I think that's for sure. And I didn't get to see, like, I mean, Logan Thomas, whatever, he's out. So it's just like, you can't even really like
touch
him, and he's, you know, getting back off the thing, but you know, he's got work to do. I will say Bryce Young, like, just as advertised, you're just like, you notice him. Like, even if you didn't know, if you weren't looking for Bryce Young, you'd be like, who's that guy? Like, so that's always a good sign. And, you know, not surprising based on what everyone has said already. And I don't know, it'll be interesting, because like, you can't tell anything with like Mukum because he's hurt and he's there. But I mean, guys like him and Devin Houston and Brandon Vernon, to me, it's not like it's not like a noticeable thing with them compared to like, say when you're looking at like Anya from where like the jump Anya made last year, where you're just like, whoa, like, I mean, all that really matters is like how these guys look when, you know, they're strapped up and all that. I will say Tyson Ford, I mean, he's back to being big again. Like he's big. Like he is very big, but it is weird to see him like that though, too, because it doesn't look like, I wouldn't say that he carries it as well as other guys who've put on it, but I mean, that's why I'm interested to kind of see if he can, because I would say right now he's not a name that people are buzzing about, but
yeah,
you know, we'll see what happens.
I mean, we talked about it last year. I don't remember when it was, but just like all these guys, like Devin Houston, I mean, maybe he doesn't fall into this specific category, but like Brandon Vernon and Tyson Ford, it's just like their weight has been up and down.
Yeah.
And so how can Tyson Ford specifically, how can he be big, lose it, get down to like 270 something, and then put it back, and this is like good weight? Like, I just, they need, I don't care if they bring in like tweeners or whatever, or like whatever they want to do, fine. But like, they need to know when they get there what they're going to be, so that they can start building their body to be that thing. Because you know, we're in the third year or whatever spring it is.
Yeah, you got to have a plan. You have to have a plan. And I think that is something that needs to be, because that's the thing with, and I'll say that's why I think one of the things with Burnham is they made that move early for him.
Yeah.
And even though they didn't say like, hey, you're going to be, you're going to play strong side right away, like, I think that's where they envisioned him right away. And he's been building towards that. And you can see that building of that. Right. And I think it's always a thing too. And I don't know, whatever. And I'm not saying this was as anything against Matt Bayless or Fred Hale when he was just doing it in the interim either, but I don't know, maybe that's something where like Lauren Lando will have more of like a concrete plan with these guys in terms of like, this is where we want to get to this time, and like, these are the steps and whatever.
Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to blame any specific person. I have no idea who's responsible for this stuff, but like, this happens too often with the D line specifically. It's just like they don't, there's just guys who it's like, is he a three? Is he a, like Jason Agne is another example where it's like, look how long it took him just to get to this point. Right. Yeah. Like it just, it takes too long. They need to know where they're going.
He was always going to be a guy who take long. So I just think he's different, but I would say, yeah. Yeah. Right. What you're saying is fair.
Yeah. So there's something to monitor there as well. So that's Tyler Borgman brings up a good point. And this goes back to kind of linebackers. An interesting piece to potential player development is the schedule. If we dominate like we should, there may be the ability to rest develop in some of these games. I think that's true of the linebackers. Like it's a good time, like maybe not in the opener, but you know, you've got a couple service academies, you've got a couple MAC teams, right? Like they'll be able to get guys into games, I think, a lot more, a lot easier than it would in just, you know, if you're playing a bunch of tougher opponents, right? Like last year when you had the stretch from, you know, Ohio State to Duke to Louisville to USC, you're not rotating a bunch of guys in those situations, right? Like those are tough games. So that's something to monitor and to keep an eye on. Another thing is Rubio was Gabe Rubio was back on campus watching practice again. I think every bit of evidence seems to suggest they plan to have him back in the summer.
I would say it's like
he's like not gonna be around the team this much if that's not happening, right? Like that's just a thing that's true. Bo Collins is again at practice. He is in South Bend finishing up his degree from Clemson, presumably online. And so he will be in South Bend in the summer, or he'll be a part of the program in the summer. Did I see Deion Colsey running around out there? Is that
Deion Colsey was running around. So he's like, you know, he's involved. And I didn't watch very much of the offense because I was just, you know, you only get this so much time. But he was running out there, and so I don't know for sure that he was catching passes with the thing, but with his hand or finger injury or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But I think he's running out there fine, that's for sure. So he's still heavily involved.
I want to go deeper into this Jeremiah Love slot running back thing. How many carries do you think that he gets like next year? At first I was like, oh, they're doing it just to, you know, get him some reps in the and slot. Maybe they'll move him to slot. Now I'm kind of thinking maybe they want more out of that than I previously thought. I guess to re-ask the question, how many carries do you think he gets next year? Like, is he going to be like mainly a running back?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think that's all right. I think that's the sign that he's going to be, he's, you know, and that's something that I talked about with Mike a little bit on the Power Hour earlier in the week too, is that like, everything that we know is like, the plan is he's still going to be like primarily a running back. This is just kind of like additive.
Okay. All right. Cause I was reading his thing and it's like, they were talking about like JD Price is, I agree. JD Price is ready to kind of explode and be a big time back for Notre Dame next year. But it's like talked about Jabron Payne. It's like, oh, he's much improved. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, hey, like, this is not what I want. I don't want Jeremiah Love in the slot so that it's like they can give Jabron Payne 10 to 12 carries a game, respectfully speaking. I would like a majority of those touches to go to Jeremiah Love, who is very explosive. He's good at making people miss. He's good in the open field, all those other things. Right. So I just wanted to track that. Another thing that I noticed today that, you know, they're running routes against air and that sort of thing. Cam Williams is smoke show. Yeah. That guy, he is super explosive. I don't know where he's at with his, you know, does he know the offense and all that stuff? I have no idea. That guy is explosive, and you got to find a way to get him out there. And I think that Jaden Greathouse is carrying himself.
He looks very like quick.
The dude. He looks good. He does. He looks slimmer. And I just think he looks great out there. And I think he carries himself. I would take all of the Jade Greathouse leads the team in reception stock at this point. Anything you
that would definitely
in, on that front.
I would definitely buy stock in Jaden Greathouse this year. And I've already been like pretty high on him before, but like I think he's gonna have a big, big year. Like I think he's I mean, I would be surprised if he's, you know, doesn't have a prominent role in what wasn't like, you know, could he be wide receiver one? Maybe, right? But like, he's going to have a prominent role. And like, put it this way. So he returned punts in high school, right? And people seen him and he like returned some to the house and whatever. But it wasn't like he looked whatever. It was like, he was just kind of like, well, you're the best player on the team. So you're going to go and, you know, return punts. But he was back returning punts in this practice. And you would just kind of see some of like the short area stuff that he was doing. I was just like, didn't know you had it in yet. Kind of think like it was like that. And that's just kind of how he's looked. Like, it's just obvious. And then that's something that I had talked to Matt Freeman about before, you know, before practice too, was that like, he was like, yeah, like it's noticeable. Great house. And it's, so, I mean, that's a good thing. And I think the fact too, right, that he's kind of already kind of established himself, like slot is kind of like where he's mostly going to be, I think. So because Jaden Thomas has been pretty much working on the boundary. And like, obviously they got Faison there too. And Jaden Harrison, like they got options. And then we talked about Love there or whatever, right? But they have options. So that's going to be interesting. But the one thing you know is that like Mike Denbrock loves getting matchups with that slot and putting guys in the slot to get those matchups, right? So that definitely monitored just the production from guys lined up in the slot this year. I think that's going to be big for Notre Dame's offense.
I just, you know, he just has that aura, man. Like, he wants to be the guy. He wants to be the guy. And he was the guy in Texas. Just, it's going to be there. I just think it's going to be there. He's going to be in for a big season. Rajon says, wide receiver room looking 6'7" deep. Okay, let's Jaden Thomas, one. Greathouse, two. Let's say Chris Mitchell, three. Jaden Harrison, four. Faison, five. Who am I missing here? Did I miss anyone just on that first five? Bo Collins is six.
Bo Collins, six. I mean, depending on whatever happens with Colsey, seven. And, you know, you got Gilbert, Cam Williams. I mean, whatever it is, they're much deeper.
Yeah.
And faster than they were last year.
Yeah. Yak says, here we go. Over here. For wide receivers. Who are predicting predicted starters at wide receiver for us? So it's interesting. It's interesting between like Bo Collins and Jaden Thomas. Where do you see Jaden Thomas's role being this year? Because he's a better slot guy. We've talked about this a ton. Better slot guy. Jaden Greathouse, I think, better slot guy, right? Bo Collins, not a slot. Like, you can see him just being boundary. Like, that seemed – he screams boundary all over the place, right? Like, that just seems like what he is. Chris Mitchell, field, right? That screams his position. You have a lot of slot options. You have Jaden Harrison. You have Jaden Thomas. You have Jaden Greathouse, the three Jadens, right? You have Jordan Faison. Fourth slot option, right? How do you kind of see that adjudicating itself? It is kind of, it's a lot of guys, right? It's almost like you don't have enough spots to accommodate kind of the weapons that you have on that side of the ball. How do you see that kind of playing out?
That's the thing, is like, I couldn't even tell you who the predicted starters would be today, other than I would say that, and that this is also goes to like the Jane Greathouse thing, is that like Jane Greathouse and Chris Mitchell, I think I would say those are two or the three, you know, yeah. Like I would be my best bets, I think, are those are two of the three. And I mean, you just got to wait till Collins actually starts practicing and gets in there. And I don't know how much to the fact that Colsey had been out and then Collins isn't here, and how much that is making Thomas have to go on the boundary, because they don't have as many boundary guys without that. But then it's all of a sudden, if you're like, okay, well, we like Micah Gilbert at the boundary, and then you're like, okay, well, now we can kind of move Thomas around, right? I just think Jane Thomas is just like too good of a player to not be involved, you know, in some way, and especially because there just aren't guys that are built like him, that kind of move like he does, that is just, it makes him just a different kind of option than they have. So I just think that, like, I don't want to say like I would be surprised if he wasn't a starter, because he might not be a starter, but I would say like he's still going to play a lot and still get a bunch of targets, even if he's not like the first slot out or the first boundary out, right? Like, it's just one of those things where, I don't know. I really don't know how they're going to kind of handle it and how Mike Brown is going to handle it. But the thing is, it usually always just works itself out. The cream always rises, right? And then you're just going to find which guys are kind of excelling the most. And then you kind of go from there. But I mean, it's a weird kind of situation. I would say, like, I mean, not that I would compare this to 2015 in terms of how the talent overall, but like that was one kind of thing with, like, I would say the 2015 team is that they were deep at receiver and like good at receiver, and they had a lot of veterans, a lot of guys who could play, because they had, like, you know, obviously they had Fuller and they had, you know, Breezy, they had Chris Brown, they had Corey Robinson caught 40 something balls the year before, right? You got Amir Carlisle. Remember, CJ Procise moved to running back. He was a slot the year before, right? So there's that. There's also, you know, Torrey Hunter Jr., right? And like EQ was like good enough to play that year. He just didn't, because it was like they had too many guys, right? It was like, so I mean, I wouldn't put this group up with that group in terms of, like, you know, that group, I would say it was better, especially because you can't, until you see a Fuller, you can't say there's a Fuller. So, but that was one of the things they had to kind of manage that. And it's probably going to be something a little similar, I think, where you got to kind of manage it.
Rajon's asking, do we have a true deep threat? So Chris Mitchell is supposed to be that's his kind of what he was brought in to do. And so, you know, Cam Williams will be that when he's ready, but we don't know when he'll be ready. So do you think Chris Mitchell can kind of carry that mantle of being just the smoke show speed guy?
Yeah, I just think he's the obvious choice. And I mean, I'll say that too, like, I didn't watch a ton of Chris Mitchell today, but you just watch him and it's just like, I mean, you know, Greg, those guys that are like, it just looks easy for them when they run.
Yeah,
you're like, there's just so little wasted motion. It's just like, it's like, I don't want to say he doesn't look fast, because he looks fast, but it's just like, it's not like it doesn't look like he's running hard and he's fast.
Yeah,
and that is always a good sign, and also a good sign for a deep threat, because when you're kind of in control there, I always think those guys are the guys who are the best, you know, deep ball players, because they can gear down easier, and they can kicking into another gear if they have to, because it's just easy for them to get at that, like a pretty top speed, right? So, and that's what made them so good last year for FIU, right?
Yeah. I think KK Smith also falls into that for me as a guy who, like when I saw him last year, when they did, when he warmed up in the pregame for, I think it was Wake Forest. He's an easy mover, man. He really glides out there, and he's just moving. You know, you can just tell his acceleration and that sort of thing. So he's also like kind of an interesting X factor for me in terms of like, you know, missed a lot of last year with injury. So he's kind of catching up physically. But I think he might have something as well. So we're going to put like a soft monitor on him, just kind of looking for updates on KK Smith. Interesting wide receiver prospect. On to the offensive line. You know, it's been mentioned on Irish Sports Daily a couple of times. People are very excited about Billy Shrouth, Ashton Craig, and Charles Jagusaw. Things look good there, right? Those three guys have kind of taken steps forward, like meaningful steps forward to some good play. You mentioned you had a little tidbit about Emil Wagner, how he looked physically. Why don't we get to that now? What was your kind of observation there about how he looks?
Yeah, like obviously I'm not out there with the scale. Like, Emil, are you over 290 today or whatever? Yeah. But I mean, he looked great to me. Like he looked just, you could tell a difference from the player he was last fall to now. And I think that's what kind of, like, you could really tell the difference. He just is a bigger dude, a bigger dude. So, and that I think, you know, stands out because I mean, he fit in with everybody else in terms of the line, and like pretty much everybody is like 300, right? Like that's just kind of across the board pretty much. Right. And he absolutely just fit in with everyone else in terms of physically. Like he didn't look different to me where it, you know, when I saw him the last 2 years, I'm like, yeah, he did look different. Like he wasn't quite, you know, matching up with everybody else physically. And I'd say, no, that's not the case. But in saying that too, though, I should mention that like there's a difference now, and it's a little bit like when Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey were gone after 2017, where, because those guys, they just looked so different, right? Like it was like, you know, I don't want to say man amongst boys, but it was almost like that, because they just were like, they look like NFL players then, right? Where it was like, these guys look like they had been in the league for a few years. Like that's how they looked. I mean, and really Quentin Nelson looked like that for most of his career, right? And McGlinchey too, really. But when they left, like there's a difference between, you know, third year Liam Eichenberg or second year Robert Hainsey as your tackles than Mike McGlinchey, right? It's a different, right? Like it's different when even if you were gonna say like you know, any one of the guards that you could look at, even like say like Aaron Banks at that time, who was a big dude, and you could tell he was gonna be a big dude, but there's a difference between him and Quentin Nelson, right? And and I think even just there's a difference between, you could just see like Alex Bars, who was a veteran, there's a difference between Alex Bars and Quentin Nelson. And that was the same thing with Alton Fisher, is those guys just look different in a good way, right? Like they just were like freaky looking dudes. The guys that you looked at and you're like, well, these guys could play for Alabama and Georgia, and they just fit that mold. They're just so, so big, right? So, and we're now, I mean, there's guys like, I mean, Jagusaw is a big dude. Mm-hmm. Sullivan Abshire is a very big dude. He is going to be a monster. Styles Prescott is not that big right now, but you can tell he is going to be big, like, and he moves well too, right? But you look at kind of like across the board, they don't have quite the same stature as some of those other guys were. And to me, it reminds me of, yeah, that 2018 year where it was like a bit of a transition year where you are having like, I mean, Hainsey looked different 2 years later than he did at that point. Eichenberg looked different 2 years later than he looked at that point. So it's just, I think that's kind of where more physically the thing is now.
It'd be interesting if that, like, if that made a difference with like Tosh Baker being involved rather than Emil Wagner. Like Tosh Baker is obviously huge, right? Like Emil Wagner is never going to look like that, right? So, but I think the thing with Emil Wagner, we're going to kind of, I think we're going to stop monitoring the weight on him. I'm kind of done with that at this point. You've seen him, you've have eyes on him. It's over with now. He's just a guy who's viable, ready to, I don't care what he weighs. If he looks like he can be out there and physically participate, then that's the deal. It sounds like Tosh Baker knows this is the time, right? It has to happen now. And that is pushing his play. And look, that is what you want, right? Because he knows Emil Wagner's coming. He knows he's a good football player. And Emil Wagner knows like the spot is open for me as well. I think that is going to make for a good situation at right tackle. And it wouldn't stun me, honestly, if we saw a rotation there. It really would not. I think Emil Wagner can get to the point where he plays well enough to where they have to play him. And Tosh Baker plays well enough to where they have to play him as well. And I honestly believe it would be okay for them to kind of be in that situation. It might even be good for both players. You kind of never know. But I think to have, you know, to solidify your center, to solidify your, you know, one of your guard spots, and then to have Jagusaw actually be the guy to where it's like, hey, he can handle that left tackle spot. He's going to be the next in line. I think that really makes a big difference for an offense. Kind of lets them kind of plan. It's like, okay, this is the type of team we're going to be. Interested in your thoughts. You know, people are talking about Rocco in the chat. You know, where, because he's never played. I think he's only played on the right, right? You know, Billy Stroud is on the right. He can play on the left, right? And Sam Pendleton is there as well. He's also challenging to be a player at guard. And obviously Pat Coogan, like he played all the snaps at left guard last year. Where do you see that kind of, or what, I don't know, where do you see it? What have you heard about where things are there? I mean, it's obviously that's a spot that's up in the air.
Yeah. I think that is the one spot that has to kind of be determined. And a lot of it's going to be determined by just like where Coogan is in terms of like, is this just like, is Coogan, is that like what he was last year? Is that who he is? Cause if that's who that is, then I think he's probably not going to win the job. Right. Yeah. And I'm not to say that he can't get better or, you know, in certain areas, but I think some of his stuff was just like, you have to get stronger and you have to, there's some of these things that naturally I'm like, you got to have it to be able to do that. And so does he have that? That was one of the things before was that he was just he had only played left guard like for years and years. And then he played right and he ended up winning the right guard spot. Right. But so it was always kind of like, oh, can he like adjust to try to win the right guard? So it shouldn't be that big of a transition for him to get in the mix there. But I really don't know how it's going to go, but I think it's pretty obvious that like, you know, that it's going to be like left guard and right tackle are the spots that are going to be contested. And my guess is that they aren't going to have anything quite figured out. Definitely not at right tackle. I don't see them like making a definitive call on that. And they might end up, you know, splitting later on. I mean, it's certainly something that has happened before. My guess is that left guard job, that'll be like a battle for like fall camp, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it, like, honestly, that's like healthy too, right? Like, that's healthy for the line. I think it's healthy for, like, there's no reason for them to name right tackle in the spring. No. You know, like, it have to go into fall camp, because honestly, that's what's fair to both players. Neither player has a ton of experience. Neither player has, I mean, obviously Tosh Bakar has more experience, but not like not great experience, right? It's almost negative experience on his end. So he has to prove like he can be a better player. He did have the good bowl game, so that matters, right? It's not like it's nothing, but I just think you have to give both players an equal opportunity there. I think with left guard, it's kind of a little bit different, right? Pat Coogan played all last year. Obviously, he had his struggles, as you've documented this offseason, but still got the time, right? His good plays look really good, right? So can you keep those? Can you keep, kind of build on the good plays, less of the bad plays, and you can get, something going there? He's in a little bit different position. And I think especially for Sam Pendleton, who doesn't have the experience, he's going to have to play really, really well in order to kind of make himself a factor. Rocco's interesting. I mean, obviously he's battled his way back to give himself a chance, right? Obviously the knee injury there. I just wonder if it's, he's not up against someone like Shrouth, who is inconsistent from an assignment standpoint or inconsistent from just like really bad plays. He's not up against that really now with Coogan. So it'll be interesting what it would take for him to supplant kind of the guy who played, the majority of the snaps last year at left guard. So that's going to be interesting to track. A lot going on. And so we're going to keep following those things. Jamie, we'll be back sometime this week. It's kind of a schedule thing of when things are going to work out. But you're still in South Bend. You're still taking in the practices as they come. So we're going to work out a time for us to talk again. But this will be after you have observed practice and that sort of thing. So we're going to have Jamie on for like the majority of the shows going forward, or at least for the next couple shows. Jamie's going to be reporting from South Bend. You're embedded in there. So you're going to want to stay tuned to Hit and Hustle and to Irish Sports Daily YouTube channel. Hit the like, hit subscribe, hit the notification bell. We'll be back soon with another show talking about the Notre Dame football team. And in the meantime, keep hitting and hustling.